Bible Baptist Church, located at 2015 Beulah Road in Madisonville, Kentucky, would like to invite you to listen to a message of the sovereign grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ by their pastor, David Edmondson.
If I was to ask each of you individually this morning what you thought of some well-known prominent figure, like the president, for example, I bet you'd already have your mind made up about him. I know that if you asked me what I thought about President Obama, I wouldn't have to sit and contemplate my response before I answered. Why? Because I've already made up my mind about him. Over the last 6.5 years as our president, I've heard him and I've heard about him. I've considered the things that he's done. I've observed his track record on the major issues, political issues anyway, of our day. And I've made up my mind as to what I think about him. Now, I'm not here to give you my views on the president, and I'm not here to ask you what you think of the president or anyone else for that matter. I am asking you, though, what you think of the most significant man that ever walked the face of this earth. It's the same question that he himself asked those who were closest to him when he lived on planet Earth, and is without a doubt the most important question that's ever been asked of anyone, a question that has an eternal life and an eternal death issue. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. If you have your Bibles and are able to turn there with me, if not, I'll read it to you. Matthew, chapter 22, verse 42. The question, the most important question you could ever be asked is found here. And it's simple, a simple question. What think ye of Christ? For over 2,000 years, men and women have been talking about him. They've been thinking about him. They've heard men preach about him. And some have made their mind up about who he is, and some have not. Most of those that have made their mind up have been wrong in their evaluation of him, but there's some that have been right. 2,000 years have come since the Lord Jesus Christ walked on this earth, yet the question is still not only prevalent, but it's critical, urgent, and addressed to each of us today. What think ye of Christ? Was he really the Son of God and God the Son? Did he really leave the majesty and glory of heaven and come to earth to seek and to save that which was lost? Did Jesus Christ really come into the world to save sinners? Or is this the biggest conspiracy, the biggest lie that has ever been told throughout the ages? Is Jesus Christ the greatest imposter that has ever lived? What do you think? It is of very little importance in the grand scheme of things what you and I think of the president or any other prominent figure for that matter. It really doesn't affect us. But if this book, this Bible that I'm holding right now, is truly the Word of God, this man, Christ Jesus, should be of the greatest interest to you and every living soul residing upon this earth. Why? Because your opinion of him has life or death consequences. This book declares very simply and plainly that very thing. John wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he said, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. The question is, what do you think? One day, you and I are going to stand before our Maker. We're going to stand before the Lord God, Judge of heaven and earth, and we're going to be required to answer that question of all questions. What do you think of Christ? The only difference then, friends, the only difference in being asked then and being asked now is that then it is too late for it to matter what you think. For how you lived in this life will have already answered the question. What will truly answer the question is whether or not you've lived a life of faith in Him. That's what really matters. The proof is in the pudding. If you've trusted in Him alone to have put away your sin and at the same time provide for you the perfect righteousness that God requires of you, then you've thought right of Him. But if you haven't put your faith and your trust in Him, if you're not trusting in Christ alone as the substitute for your sin, your right standing before God, then you have not thought right of Him and you'll die in your sin. Can it be put any more blunt than that? Can I state it any simpler? Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The question is, what do you think about that? What do you think about it? What do you think of Him being a poor child in a manger when He should have been born in the most prestigious palace? What do you think concerning God the Son leaving all the grandeur, majesty, and the glory of heaven where angels worshiped Him continuously in order to become an infant in a cow stable? What do you think about God becoming a child? And as a child, never disobeying, never disappointing, never talking back, always in total submission to His parents. What do you think about that? What do you think about Him never having an evil thought, especially when my thoughts and your thoughts are only evil continually, according to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5? What do you think? What are your thoughts on the matter? What are your thoughts about Jesus of Nazareth, who as a child, a boy, and then a man, never committed one sin? He couldn't and be your substitute. He couldn't and die for your sin. He had to be perfect. What do you think about that? He never committed a sin. When you consider that everything that we ever do or will do is full of sin, that is an amazing thought. He's the only one qualified to be my substitute, my one mediator between God and man. What do you think of Him? What do you think of Him as a teacher? What do you think of Him as a preacher? Oh, as I read through the pages of Scripture, especially the Gospels, and I hear the words of the Lord Jesus, I think, oh my, here's a preacher from heaven. I'd love to have but 5 minutes on the mountainside. On the mountainside at the feet of Christ, listening to His words of life eternal flow from His gentle lips. Oh, that would, I'd rather have that than listen to a lifetime of all the so-called wise men in this world. I drive out on the countryside and I see the lilies in the field, and I cannot help but to think of His words, His preaching. He said, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. God's going to take care of His people. Sinners who trust in Him hear Him say, if my Father so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow's cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? What do you think, dear listener? What do you think of Him who freely does these things for us? What do you think of Him as a physician? Oh, He's the greatest physician that's ever lived. And no physician has the success rate of healing greater than this great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. No case, no disease has ever been brought to him that he could not cure. He had but to speak the word, and disease fled before him. Here comes a man through the crowd. Can you see him there? Oh, I've seen him so many times in my mind's eye. Walk before the Lord Jesus Christ. He fell before the Lord Jesus Christ. He's covered with leprosy. And he cries, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Lord Jesus, without any hesitation, said, I will. I will, says the great physician, and immediately the leprosy's gone. Incurable is not a word that can be found in God's vocabulary. No, sir. He can cure them all. Why, he can cure the greatest disease of all, sin. Sin. What do you think of Christ as a comforter? Can you see him there in Bethany binding up the hearts of the broken sisters who just lost their brother? Why, he's the husband to the widow, and he's the father to the fatherless. Those who are weary and heavy laden may find a resting place upon the breast where John laid his head. The Lord Jesus Christ is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He never varies. He never fails. He never dies. His sympathy is ever fresh. His love is always free. And thinking upon these things, will you not tell me what you think of him? Let's go to the ones that despised him and persecuted him and cursed him and slew him. Let's ask him why they hated him. The scriptures say they hated him without a cause. Was there a reason to hate him? Let's call upon the Pharisees. Oh, they had a great interest in him, didn't they? They were always there, every story. Seems like they were just there, ready to accuse him. Pharisees, tell us what you have against the Son of God. What do you think of Jesus Christ? Do you hear what they say? They say, this man receiveth sinners. What an argument to bring against him. Why, that's the very thing that makes the chosen sinner love him. That's the glory of the gospel right there. He receives sinners. If he hadn't, what would have become of you and I? If he hadn't, what would become of us? Have you nothing more to bring against him than this? He receiveth sinners. Why, that's one of the greatest compliments that you could ever be paid him. Oh, self-righteous one, you who saw him hanging on that cursed tree, what else do you have to say? Well, they said when they saw him hanging on the cross, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Again, what an assessment. Your assessment is correct. And so he did save others, but he could not save himself and save us too. So let me make sure that I fully understand you, Mr. Pharisee. He laid down his own life so that those who were dead in trespasses and sin might live. That's the greatest news I've ever heard. Christ saved others. He died for others. He was a ransom for many. So it's quite true what you think of him. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. That's the best news, friends, that this sinner ever heard. But see, they didn't mean it that way. No, they didn't. They hated him. They said, he thinks he's God. Look at him now. Let's summon Pilate. You know, Pilate is the one that Christ's accusers brought before him to judge him. Let's get Pilate into the witness box here. Pilate, this man was brought before you, and you examined him, and you talked with him face to face. What do you think of him? What do you think of Jesus Christ? Pilate says, I find no fault in him. Pilate stood there in the midst of that Jewish mob, and here comes a servant, a man, out of the crowd, elbowing his way through the crowd in haste, and he rushes up to Pilate and quickly holds out his hand to give him a note. Pilate tears it open, reads it, and it's a note from his wife, and it says, "Have thou nothing to do with this just man? This just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." You want to know what his enemies thought of him? You want to know what a heathen thought of Christ? Here it is. "I find no fault in him." How about the wife of a heathen? She said, "Have no part in the conviction of this just man." Okay, well, let's bring in Judas here. Why, he'll make us a good witness against him, for he's the very one that betrayed him. Come, tell us, Judas, what do you think of Christ? You knew your master well. You sold him for 30 pieces of silver. You betrayed him with a kiss. Obviously, you can give us great insight onto the kind of man this was. What do you think of him? Oh, I'm telling you, I've pictured this in my mind. I can see Judas as he comes into the presence of the chief priest. I can hear the money ring as he throws it upon the table in the temple, and I can hear the words that come forth from his mouth as the tears flow down his face. "I have betrayed innocent blood." Here's the man who betrayed the Lord Jesus, and this is what he thinks of him. "I have betrayed innocent blood." He's innocent. He's innocent, and I've betrayed him. Oh, my friends, God has made every man who ever had anything to do with the death of his son to be put on record as to what they thought of the innocent Son of God. Well, what about that centurion who was present at the Lord's execution? He had charge of the Roman soldiers, and he told them, he was the one that told them to make him carry the cross. May Christ make that man whom we're going to crucify there carry that cross. He'd given the orders for the nails to be driven into the Lord's hands and into his feet and the spear into his side. "Mr. Centurion, you had charge over his executioners. You saw his death was carried out. You saw him die. You heard him speak while he was upon the cross. Tell us, what think ye of Christ? What do you have to say about him?" "Truly, this was the Son of God." That's what he had to say. This was the Son of God. We might ask the thief upon the cross what he thought of Jesus Christ. At first he railed him just as the other thief did. But God gave him a change of heart. And he said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." Let's call upon Christ's friends. What do they have to say? What do they think? John the Baptist, the prince of preachers, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." This was what John the Baptist thought of him. John said, "I bear record that he's the Son of God." In John chapter 1, verse 34. Peter, tell us what you think of Christ. Stand in this witness box and testify of him. You denied him once. You cursed him. You said you didn't know him. What do you think of him? What think you of Christ? And I can just hear Peter say, "You know, the Lord himself asked me that one day. He asked me and the others, 'Who do men say that I am?'" And we begin to answer one after another and said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist reincarnated, and others say that you're Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah, one of the prophets." And he looked right at me and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" Now, I don't know how I knew, Peter said. I just did. And I said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then he told me how I knew. He said, "You're a blessed man, Peter, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." And such was Peter's testimony on that day of Pentecost when he stood and preached, and he declared these words, "This Jesus, whom you've taken and crucified with your wicked hands, God hath made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ." He's God of heaven and Savior of men. You look into John's gospel, and you'll find what he thought of Christ. Why, the first words that he penned in John chapter 1, verse 1, is, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus Christ is God. That's what John the Baptist thought of him. Well, bring in old Doubting Thomas. Let's ask him what he thinks. That doubting disciple, he simply said, "My Lord and my God." Oh, friends, we could go on and on. We could ask all those in the scripture that providentially crossed his path. They'd all say, "Jesus of Nazareth? Why, he hath done all things well." But there is yet another witness, the greatest witness of all. When our Lord was baptized by John in the River Jordan, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." My, that's what God thinks of him. God's well pleased with his Son. At the Mount, when Christ was transfigured in all his glory, God made the same claim. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." You better listen to him. From him flows the words of eternal life. God the Father thinks well of his Son, and if God is well pleased with him, should we not be? What do you think of Christ? What do you think of Christ? Well, I refer back to my text in Matthew chapter 22. What does Christ declare concerning himself? Look at it again if you turn there. In verse 41, he says, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, 'What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?'" Notice the second part of our Lord's question. What think ye of Christ, and whose son is he? That's very important. Whose son is Jesus Christ? And notice their answer. They say unto him, "The Son of David." The Pharisees, without any hesitation, answer correctly. He was the Son of David after the flesh. The Messiah would be of the seed and family of David. Now hear me, I say this all the time. To know Jesus Christ in a saving way is to know much more than just some things about him, just some true facts about him, much more than that. It's to know him in a way that only God can reveal him to you. And that's what our Lord is saying here to these self-righteous Pharisees who profess the Messiah to be the Son of David. In order to be redeemed and saved from your sin, you must know Christ to be much more than David's son. And we see that in what our Lord asked them next. He said unto them, "How then does David in spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool'? If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" My, sinner, Jesus Christ is Lord. David called him Lord. Now here's the most amazing thing. God called him Lord. That's right. God said, "Lord." You see that? David said, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." Who's sitting on the right hand of God in all power, majesty, and glory? God is. The Lord Jesus Christ is. He's God. Sitting next to God the Father on his throne in all power is God the Son. Now, dear sinner, Jesus Christ is God. And the only way that a sinner can be saved is to know that God died for their sin. God's blood was shed for the sins of his people. Jesus Christ is God. You want to know how great your sin is? It took God's blood to cleanse it. It took God's blood to do away with it. God's blood had to be shed. No wonder Paul wrote in Romans 8 and asked the question, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? Who's going to bring a charge against the Lord Jesus Christ and condemn him? He's the one that died. It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Where is he? He's at the right hand of God. Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may he give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, now listen, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, that not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that dwelleth all in all. Now, may I ask you one more time, what do you think of Jesus Christ? Do you see whose son he is? Do you? What do you think of him? Do you see that he is God? Do you see that he is the only one who can put away your sin and reconcile you unto a holy God? What do you think of him? What you think of him will determine your eternity. To ask you what you think of him is the same thing as asking you what you think of God. What do you think of God? What do you think of the God of this Bible? Who is he? What is he? Why, he's holy. What did he do for sinners? He became what they were, yet without sin, that he might die for the ungodly who were without strength, without life. What do you think of him? What do you think of this beloved Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you? What do you think about where he is? Why, God raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. He's put all things under his feet. Jesus Christ is God. He's in control. He saves sinners. He doesn't try to save. He saves them. What do you think of him? What do you think of him? That's the question.
You have been listening to a message by David Edmondson, the pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of God's free, sovereign grace in Christ, you can write to our mailing address at P.O. Box 652, Madisonville, Kentucky 42431, or log on to our website at freegraceradio.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, we meet at 2015 Beulah Road, Madisonville, Kentucky, and our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship services begin at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesday evening services at 7 o'clock p.m. Please tune in again next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for another message of God's free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ.